This is KIDE Hoopa Tribal Radio. We will be bringing you a live broadcast from the Tribal Council Chambers at the Neighborhood Facility in Hoopa.
We go ahead and call the meeting to order. I want to thank everybody for being here today. We have, I believe we have Mr. Boyd Ferris, who's going to offer an opening prayer for us.
Thank Mother Earth for being here. Ask that we may be blessed and live a good life. Say that I believe in our medicine, our root, our water, the things that sustain us. We say that we believe in this way, and say that we always want to make good medicine. And then we say that we're thankful and grateful to be here in a good way. And that's all.
All right, again, I thank everyone for coming out. You know, I think the reason why we, as a tribal council, called this meeting is that we want to have a good, positive response to a horrible situation. Obviously, there's always room for improvement in the way that we serve our youth, in the way that we serve our community, and we want to do that. We want to improve. As tough of a situation as it is, the good thing is that, you know, as a Hoopa Valley tribe and as a community, we're not in it alone. We're working together. I'm happy that, you know, the Yurok tribe had reached out to us, and I feel that there's been a very good response by Humboldt County, the sheriff's office, as well as Department of Health and Human Services has reached out. Two Feathers is here. They've been working with the community. So the more resources we can pull together, work together, we want the community to feel safe. We want healing to be able to happen. And we also need to take actions and create measures that will prevent these kinds of things from happening into the future. And, you know, better activities, communication, coordination, just resources and making sure people know what the resources are, where they may be found at, those sorts of things. I did want to share the update that Preston Lee Reese has been arrested at the end of Highway 169, the end of the road downriver. He's only 15 years old. Two other major suspects are still at large, Red Cloud Lincoln and William Warren, also known as Bubs Lincoln, 18 years old. Those two individuals are still at large. Sheriff's Office working closely with tribal police, and they're doing everything they can to, you know, bring those individuals to justice or, you know, arrest them. So Those are some of the updates that we do have. We had a good meeting this morning. It was the Tribal Council with Kamau Medical Center, Hoopa Human Services. I believe Yurok Tribe was represented there. And we came up with some things that can help as far as the mobile medical unit, making resources available to the students, both today while there was no school, and then when school gets back into session. Going forward, we just want to, you know, continue to work together with all of our partners, create more, more activities, more opportunities for the kids. And so that's really the focus and some of the main goals right now. I think some of our agency partners do have some updates on some of the work and the services that they would like to share. And, certainly, we want to hear from you guys as a community as well, and you know, advice that you can offer to all of us, and to our ideas for solutions, also for our agency partners. All of that will be important as we move forward. So, I guess at this time, I would open it up for our partner agencies that want to share work that's been happening, whether that be through Hoopa tribal departmental work or outside partners like our neighboring tribes or nonprofit organizations. So school representation as well. We have been in communication with the district. Vice Chairman Haley's been attending their meetings regularly, and communications have been there. But there's still a lot more we need to do. So I guess we'll hear from our agency partners if you guys want to share anything about resources. Ryan, would you start by sharing what Kamala's been working on?
All right, for Kamau, we are working on, we have our mobile medical clinic that will be deployed through the rest of the week over at the Wellness Center, and then next week also. We have our psychologist, we have two psychologists that will be over there, actually one LCSW, Brenda Mack, and then Dr. Kevin Foley will be over at the Wellness Center through the week. If he's not in a time slot within the Wellness Center, he'll be on the mobile medical clinic where we can still conduct any counseling or anything that may be needed for our youth and students. Along with that, we're opening up the services as tonight. I believe we're overlapping right now, and I'll ask for our team to provide another service on this one, is for the parents. What do I say to my child on that, or my son, my daughter, for, you know, how scary this is and how do I work through it? So there are some of those conversations. We do have our team ready. Please join. We'll have a couple more of those meetings scattered over there this week and probably one more next week, depending on attendance in there. With that being said, we also have our outreach team that's been going out meeting with some of the groups and families. We have Boyd. Boyd's been has a team, and Boyd probably talk on this part. We have two of our coaches are pulling in for the teams and having discussions with those students as we are trying to grab the large groups to be able to ensure that they're safe and give them an area where they can talk to work through these situations. I think that, Val, is that all that we have, or are we having? Trying to remember all the pieces. We have a lot going on that's being added in. Dr. Valerie Pazinaw is one of our chief clinical officers, and she has a little more to add.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Valerie Pazinaw from Kamau Medical Center. The other thing we did was we also made our front desk staff as well as our security staff aware that community members might walk in off the street requesting services so that there would be no delay in them being able to notify behavioral health and our psychologist that we had someone in the clinic that would want some service.
I believe that's it. Boyd, did I miss anything, or think we can?
No, the Zoom session is happening right now, and like you said, there will be more available.
Okay. And so far, as the time goes on and we see different needs, we will develop the solution for those, and we'll announce them on social media. We'll also get it out to the public in a couple other forums through the travel offices and their forums for social media and such. Any questions from anybody before I step down? All right, thank you, everyone.
Farrah, is Farrah here? Can you maybe give a little, maybe Farrah stepped out. How about, you working on some stuff, Amos?
Okay.
And good evening, Tribal Council. Amos Pohl, with the director of the Yurok Tribe's Office of Emergency Services. We absolutely are feeling, you know, the hurt within the community. We are full partnership with the Hoopa Valley Tribe. We have opened the Willow Creek Tribal Office for the East District for a safe place for students today. Also, our behavioral health and the Yurok Health and Human Services is full cooperation with the Hoopa Valley Tribe, and we want to just let you all know that we are here as a community to work together.
Thank you.
Kyogi Bergen with Two Feathers. Today we had the Wellness Village open down here, and we had 10 youth come in and hang out with us, and we had counseling services available for anybody who wanted in one building, and the other building just prevention fun activities, a safe place to be, and hopefully not have the youth didn't have to feel the heaviness of the situation. We're going to offer the same things tomorrow and Friday. We are also going to be in schools, primarily Hoopa High. But the big thing we want to say is, like, we are flexible and use us how y'all need us, and wherever the community needs us to be, that's where we'll be. We are doing services at Orleans on Friday as well, but use us how you need us.
Thank you. All right. I seen a hand online. Why don't we go ahead and open it up for online comment? Is Jessica still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Thank you for circling back to me. I had a question for Ryan, although from Kamau, although he did address that they were going to be posting the information on social media. But I was wondering if they can also put, like, the phone number in the chat for the members that are out of the area that may have family and youth, if they want to call, you know, to schedule something or availability. And also, are their services going to be an individual basis that they're meeting one-on-one, or are they doing it as a collective for a group of people?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I'll let Ryan give you more detail on that.
All right, thank you.
There's one-on-one as needed, and then there's also the group. The group is tonight, the session that they have on the Zoom link, that one's a group one, but as the need is, or they identify any members or members that would like that one-on-one, we can pull off of that and get you scheduled in as soon as possible, or after those meetings with our psychologist that is needed. And we'll get the numbers up into the group chat for the call-in.
All right, thank you.
All right. Is there anyone, any other community members that would like to ask questions or share any input? I think this time would be good to allow for that.
I have a couple different points of concern. In the Valley right now, as it stands, there is a I'm not a snitch mentality. I want to know if we can, how we could combat that as a people. If there could be workshops so that we could explain to kids the difference when it's appropriate to tell, and you know what I mean? Because I think that as adults, we've abandoned these children in a lot of different ways, and that's one of the ways. Another way that we have abandoned our children is that we anonymously post on Facebook, and we act up as adults. And so what can we do about that? And how are we going to hold ourselves accountable so that our kids will learn from us on how to appropriately address these issues? And my family's the victim of a violent gun crime. My brother was murdered 34 years ago. I know what it's like to be on the receiving end of that, to be the victim of that. It ruined my family. I want to say also, the perpetrator of that crime, his family was ruined as well. And so how are we going to move forward in a way that is healing for all of us? Progressively, my brother's murder happened a long time ago, and it's today is today. But there's still bad blood between our families, right? But back then, there wasn't groups like this, and nobody talked about these kind of things. And so I know that everybody's angry, but there's the ripple effect of this. It's going to be far and wide. And I would like to know what we are going to do as a people to address that.
Yeah, thank you. If I can answer that the best I can, is I think it's really just what we're doing now is just bringing people together, all the resources, trying to get more activities going. We have talked about training, and there are some good training curriculums out there that are currently already being implemented by not only Two Feathers, but some of Boyd's staff working in the schools and different ones. So really just trying to ramp that up and create more of that activity. We're hoping to get our youth center reopened within the next few weeks, different things like that. But it needs to be more of a focus for sure. Okay, let's go with Pam, then we'll come back to Zoom. Oh.
Hi. I'm Pamela Risling, a Hoopa tribal member. My concern is, how are we going to address the gang problem here in Hoopa? You know, I know that we've worked on different problems, like with Jordan, we worked on a fentanyl bill that we were trying to establish, you know, a method to, like, one incident equals this, two incidents, and three, you're out. And I think when we talk about gangs, Hoopa has always, every time I say, oh, there's no gangs here. I've lived next to, they're my neighbors, my cousins that are the perpetrators of this crime and still on the run. Now, my daughter has to live next door to them. We have suffered for years and years and years with my cousins, and I hate to see what other people have done. But what are, you know, I think we need to bring in the schools some people that really can talk to kids about what is gang, what is gangs, what is, why are we letting gangs come in? Because we're Hoopa people. We have our own belonging. We don't need to belong to a gang. I would like to see some really big movement on that. I'd like to see a big movement on being kind to one another, loving one another. All of these things that need to, you know, instead of bickering and fighting and talking crap, the punishing is overwhelming in this town. It's like there's no more attaboys. Oh, geez, you did such a good job on that. I'm so proud of you. It was so awesome seeing you. But you do hear that was this person did that and this person did that. We have to come together as a community and start loving one another, appreciating one another, respecting one another. That comes from the adults, you know, from up here. If we're sitting at home with our aunties and we're just talking trash about everybody, and our kids are hearing that kind of comments, and then what are they going to do? They're going to go into the school. They're going to, with their friends, they're going to start talking trash. And then all of this division happens. So whether we can get training out there, we need to do something. We maybe go on the paper, on the radio, posters. Something needs to be done, but we need to address the gang problem. It's been going on for years and years and years. There's been a couple arrests now here in Hoopa regarding gang violence involving the same people. It's just, are we going to do something to say, hey, if you can't act right, then you need to leave the valley? Because I don't want to worry about my grandsons living next door. They're 8 and 4. And we have to live next door to, we don't know if somebody's going to come by shooting at them. What the heck? What, you know? I mean, I would be mad if somebody killed my kid. I would be over there shooting at them. And we're just innocent bystanders. What's going to happen? What can we do? What kind of action can we plan for to stop this gang mentality? That's my 2 cents. Yeah, that's
that. Thank you. I would like to know that prior to this meeting at 5 o'clock, we met with Deputy Kerr from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office. And Deputy Kerr had kind of explained to us about how gangs actually work, and how, you know, sometimes what happens is it's, at first it's kind of a play thing, and, you know, kids just want to act cool, and then pretty soon it gets more and more serious, and then it grows into something much worse, and they start being influenced by real gangs, and it's kind of what we're starting to see here. And so he talked about, like, maybe an assembly, getting in front of assemblies at school and talking about the dangers of gangs. Those are some of the things that we plan to do while working with our partners. But we know it's going to go a lot deeper than that. It has to, rather than just speaking with them, it has to be ongoing positive activities. So that's what we're going to shoot for. And that's what we're hoping to address. I see Jim McQuillan has his hand up there. Jim?
All right, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman Davis and the Hoopa Tribal Council. I'm Jim McQuillan. I'm the deputy executive director now with the Yurok tribe. And we want to, you know, we consider ourselves a strong partner with the Hoopaw tribe and school district. And we are lending all of our support also, our thoughts and prayers. Our various departments have been around today and will continue to be around our tribal behavioral health services and our client services, prepared to go into the schools and support families and children during this tragedy here.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Jim. And Chairman James had reached out to me last night and made it clear that, you know, they want to help in whatever way we can and whatever way the Yurok tribe can. And we certainly welcome that. Hopefully there'll be further discussions, you know, even if one of the things we talked about today is even if there's increased law enforcement presence needed, whether we might be able to get some Yurok officers who are cross-deputized by Humboldt County here. We haven't had those discussions directly with the Yurok tribe yet, but those are some of the things that we're looking at. And definitely, though, the social work aspect of it or the youth workers, that's even better, you know, working closely with the kids. So we want to keep that momentum going.
For sure. We're having a council meeting tomorrow in Willow Creek, so I'll pass on these requests to make sure they're heard again. Many of you know I also serve on the California State Board of Education, and the board has heard about this incident also, and they lend their support, and they're looking for a list of resources with the local school district, what they want, what they need in terms of hardening the schools, and through the Office of Emergency Services of California. And I'm trying to connect the superintendent to those resources too. They won't be overnight, but we can look at additional measures to safety for the local schools there also. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you again, Jim. And something that just crossed my mind is, you know, I think there might be a correlation between the low levels of achievement that we see in our schools and the test scores. And someone told me that, you know, when kids are having a tough time in school, they tend to act out. And, you know, and so maybe that can be a focus as well, is just trying to get more resources for the students to help them be more successful academically. So that's another thing I hope that, you know, the tribes can work on together, support each other in that way, and with all of our other partners as well. Did you have some? Okay, come on up, please.
My name's Bonnie Jackson. I wanted to comment that we can have as many resources as we want, but a lot of the times what we're being taught in this community is when we bring up concerns that somebody doesn't want to hear, we're shunned. And that's what we're teaching to our children. And I hope, as I see some of the school officials here, when children come to you and say, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that, take those things seriously, because you're making those children who are speaking up ostracized. And then you might think this is solved right now because a few people have been arrested, but those things are still continuing at school. Our children know it, and they don't feel safe, and they don't feel like going to school, no matter how many resources you have. You guys need to be open to hearing things you may not feel comfortable with, but don't shun those people. Listen to them. Look at the source of what they're saying. Like, I'm really glad the one young lady said, we have a non-snitch mentality. That's not helping any of us. It's not keeping our community safe. It's not holding people accountable. So please, don't be offended by people who speak up. Reach out to them, get their concerns, and get to the root of it. Because we're not going to solve this by just sitting here saying, oh, we've done some great things, or you have this resource or that resource. Those have to be meaningful things. And support our children who are willing to speak out.
Thank you.
Technology. group that they're picking up on. And I've dealt with some really hard stuff in the last couple of years. And guess what? My kids had to go to school and see that stuff at 10 years old. And all these people that are working on these communities, guess what? I have to walk in that door and get services for my family. And you know what? I've seen posts on Facebook about M44 or kill that motherfucker. You know, what are we doing? We're harming our children, our families. We're putting other people in danger. Even though we're angry and we're upset, we're all going to be upset. But think about our actions and how we're responding to it. We're putting other people in harm's way. My children went through a lot because of other people's actions and choices and words. And we need to remind our children that everything that's on social media is not the truth. It's not. That just because you read on social media doesn't mean it's the truth. And it starts at home. It starts with your environment, with your parents. If I reacted like everybody else reacted, what would have done happen to my family, to my children?
Well, to that point, you know, I don't claim to know everything, but I do know that one of the most basic, you know, understandings or principles, values of our traditional Hoopah and Native overall culture is respect, you know, and it seems that, you know, we really kind of lost that focus, and I think there's ways to restore that, hopefully within our families and talking to each other about, hey, you know, if somebody's wronged you or you're upset with somebody, it doesn't mean that you have to ignore it or not address it, but there's ways to address it without going to Facebook or disrespecting someone or their family, you know. And so hopefully, you know, I think we all have our parts, you know, to play in this. As a council, certainly we have our role, and we need to do more. We can always improve. I know I can. But as individuals here, you know, it starts with our own families and our own homes. If we can go home and talk to our own kids and our own nieces and nephews and friends, neighbors, I think that's where we can really hopefully make some progress and see us get back on track. That would be my hope. Okay, anybody else? Come on up.
My name's Chris Jackson. Everybody calls me CJ. I've been in the Hoopa Valley to mentor the youth that has been suspended. I did a presentation in the auditorium. I wasted the majority of my life growing up in the gangs in Eastside Torrance. I was in a foster home from 6 to 13 where I was molested. I took that anger. I took that childhood trauma. I got jumped into a Hispanic gang. Southern United Raza, we fall under La M, the Mexican Mafia. But the choices I began to make, and the reason I joined the gang is because I wanted to be accepted. You know, the acceptance and that family bond that I didn't have at home, that's what caused me to gravitate towards gangs. Me and my wife, we teach life skills to the youth at Juvenile Hall in Arica every Friday night from 5 to 6. And what I hear a lot of the youth, when we ask them certain questions, they want their voice to be heard, you know, but a lot of them, they're making decisions and choices that's leading them down the wrong road. But it begins with this, I really believe this. Correct me if I'm wrong. It all starts with your perception, how these youth are seeing themselves. They gravitate towards, they don't know what gangs are. They don't know what it's to be jumped in a gang or be from a gang and in the prison system, prison politics. But these kids are gravitating because they're seeking after something. In the last tribal meeting we had, and I'm not a tribal member, I raised my hand. Hey, Augie even said, man, we're going to try to get a Boys and Girls Club mentor thing. Get something established here where the kids can be focused, where they're not bored, where they can gravitate towards something that's going to help them with their life skills so they can achieve their dreams and goals. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you guys have anything you guys want?
I had something I wanted to say. Thank you, everyone, for coming. This is hard. This is rough, man. I didn't sleep last night. I've been awake since yesterday. I was at the school district till late with Jacqueline and some of the staff and school board. This is a very tragic thing. Senseless act of brutality. From bullshit. From our lack to be able to love and respect each other in this valley. And it is so anti-Nautenaway. It just breaks my heart. I know sometimes people get annoyed with my speeches and, you know, my hippy-dippy mentality, as I've been called by my own children. You know, but we do got to love each other. We got to respect each other. I mean, we did it successfully for 20,000 plus years. And I know after, 100, 150 years of major trauma and oppression and genocide and everything, yet we're still here. And that is an amazing thing. We're one of the few tribal nations that can say the army came in and tried to extricate us, and we whooped them, and we're still here. And you know how we did that? We did it by having each other's back. And you guys are absolutely right that it's hard for me, and I know people get frustrated. It's hard to go on social media these days because it is a very ugly and nasty place. But that is where a lot of information comes out, and we can't be afraid to take some criticism. I mean, that's our job, you know. And if we're not getting criticized, we're not listening enough, or we're not paying attention. Because like Chairman said, we always have room to improve. Myself, I feel like the biggest failure right now. I literally just went and met with Jacqueline yesterday, and I've been going to the school board meetings. I met with the teachers union, and I went and talked to Jacqueline and had requested that us and the chairman and the council can come and attend an assembly for the kids at the school to sit down and listen. I feel like we tell the kids what they need, but we don't listen to what they need. And so we were literally, and we're still gonna do this. It may get pushed a week or two just because of everything going on. But it's a huge problem. It's, you know, I hear it from my kids, my nieces and nephews. You know, I my kids were scared at home. They were upset. You know, it's a really good kid, man. I mean, he is a really good kid. It's sad to, you know, and all these kids are. I mean, there's some that have some major behavioral issues and are broken, or you know, life is not kind to us as Indian people, especially on the reservation. We know that. My own childhood and life has not been easy. I've had a lot of things I've had to conquer. I've had to make a lot of sacrifices for my own children and break the cycles. And, you know, I'm the first male member of my family on the Haley side that's not an alcoholic, that's never been to jail. And it took a lot of work. You guys know I was an addict for a lot of years. You know, and even then, I still stuck by the code that my dad and my gram and my old gram taught me. And you guys are right. A lot of it starts at home. You know, it's not easy to sit up here sometimes and have to hold your family accountable, your friends accountable. It's not a popular thing, you know, but until we can do that blindly across the board, it isn't going to get better, at least not to the extent it needs to. So just, you know, remember that in the future when we have things going on, and remember this passion and this feeling. I love that this room is full. This is the fullest I've ever seen it in the 3 years that I've been here. And as horrible as it is, I love to see everybody here, because at the end of the day, that's the only way we're going to figure this out, is by us doing it together. You know, I'm by far not the smartest person in this room. You know, whether you're higher education or street education or whatever it may be, we all have valid input. And so I just encourage everybody to speak up. You know, come out with your ideas. We're going to be forming an anti-gang task force. There's going to be a zero tolerance in this valley for gang bullshit. We're in the woods. We live on the river. That's not our lifestyle, and I refuse to let it become that. And I'm not trying to target anybody. I'm not trying to call anybody out. But that's not our way, and it's not gonna keep being allowed here. So, at the end of the day, you know, I have love and respect for you all. That's you know, I grew up off the reservation when I was younger, and you know, that besides my children, the most proudest thing I am is a Hoopa tribal member and citizen of this valley. And I know you guys all feel the same, or you wouldn't be here. Whether you're Hoopa, Yurok, Kudu, maybe non-native at all, doesn't matter. We're a part of this community, and the only way we're going to do this is together.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Hi, Chairman and Council. I'm Rose Sylvia. I'm the Vice Chair for the Yurok Tribe. I'm not here as a council rep. I'm here as a parent. So that is one thing that I wanted to find out this evening in this meeting, was what our relationship was with the high school. So I have a high schooler. He doesn't want to go to school. And in that, when you're talking about the assembly, I think the assembly is a better idea now than later. I heard Ryan say that there's counseling for parents so they know how to talk to their children. Well, there's a lot of parents that are never going to talk to their children, so I would like to see that in the assembly where those questions are asked so that those children get those questions and they know where to go and what to do with that. And so I don't know, like, I didn't hear a report out about, I know they're going to go back to school tomorrow, and I don't know what that means in the school, and if anybody here could speak to that. Like, are they just going to go? And then they're there. I know we have all of the counseling services arranged from everybody possible, but is that going to be on campus? So there's a stigma with counseling, right? I worked at Human Services before, and people would just openly say, okay, I want to go to counseling. That doesn't happen. I asked my son and my grandson, did they need counseling? We were all in Crescent City yesterday at the ball game when they got the news, and they were all traumatized. And so said no. I knew he'd say no.
I was just calling to check in.
So I just wondered if anybody could kind of speak to that. Like, what is the school going to do tomorrow when the kids return?
I'm not sure. I'm on video.
Hey, can you please mute your mics, and we'll come back to you when we finish up here with response in the crowd.
Hi, Jacqueline McCullough, superintendent for KT. So as everyone knows, I'm really new to this position, and I just want to say the support from the tribes, the communities, it's overwhelming. I'm super, super grateful. Melissa had a meeting today, and I'm going to let her speak in a minute, but I think she had 32 local providers that are saying they want to help the school, they want to support. We had a meeting today. The decision to go back to school was not taken lightly. I mean, I didn't sleep all night over this, for sure. Do we go back to school or do we not? But after hearing from some of the council and law enforcement, I feel comfortable with moving forward and returning to school. That being said, students are not required to come to school the rest of this week, but I want them to have the option to come and have a meal. Many of them, that's their only meals that they get is from our school. And then also have services provided. The sheriff's department and our tribal police are planning to be present on campus. We're kind of taking this a day at a time right now. This particular senior class lost a student. It's really sad. So this is, you know, devastating for that class. Sorry. I care about the kids a lot in our community, if you can't tell. So I'm concerned definitely about their mental health. Obviously, safety is top priority. All the staffs in the district are having a staff meeting first thing in the morning with their principals. The high school staff in particular has some people from Humboldt County Office of Ed pushing in to also support. sorry, I'm not trying to be a crybaby. Okay, thank you. So they're going to be supporting as well. There are our staff is being given some scripts on how to approach students, what to say as far as if they're the teacher versus if they're the office personnel. So there's a little bit of that that's going to happen in the morning. Some groundwork has been done today for sure for returning. Somebody asked me, there are sports games happening Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and usually you have to come to school to attend and play sports. I said that's not required. They don't have to come to school to play their game. They can still go play their game if that's what makes families and students comfortable right now. Let's see. Yeah, as Jordan said, we were just meeting right before this happened and talking about the council, you know, coming into the school and doing some kind of assembly. I mean, it was hours before this happened, and addressing some of these things. Let's see. And then I guess beyond that, I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to Melissa. But before I do, I just want to say I appreciate feedback. I know it's not always positive. I know there's a lot of work to do in the school district. Believe me, I see it, and I'm doing it every single day. I think we have a long ways to go. But I have a lot of hope for our district, a lot of hope for our schools. We have some great staff members, and we're continuing to hire great staff members. I mean, we're already looking ahead to next year and trying to post positions. That's kind of unheard of at this point. Usually we're posting in July, scrambling. So we're working really hard to get our school district into a really good, positive place. And I'll continue to do that every single day. I'm committed. I'm not giving up. I have a lot of people ask me when like social media has gotten brought up a lot. It's really ugly. It's really it's upsetting. And I've had people come to me like after things are posted, are you quitting? And I'm like, no, I'm not quitting. I'm devoted to this. I'm dedicated to this. So I'm all in. And other than that, as far as the next few days, I'll pass it off to Melissa and she can talk a little bit about what that's going to look like on the campus. It's going to be more of a flexible schedule. There will be a bell schedule still. I don't necessarily want 350 kids just wandering aimlessly around this campus, but we want them to get served in the best way that they that is possible. And so, pass it off to you, Melissa. Sorry, like I'm just rambling now.
All right, good evening.
Thanks for being here, Jacqueline. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Melissa.
I'm grateful to contribute to the conversation. You know, the leadership team is working very closely together to try to provide support to our students, families, and staff. And having said that, we've selected some lead people at different campuses, the administrators of each of those departments and schools as being key personnel. I've already started to see emails go out even prior to coming here, them setting up their staff meetings for first thing in the morning to give opportunities to answer questions, to be able to give information. Where we're at in terms of the high school, since the bulk of the support is going to be in Hoopa, we are developing a service map where we're going to be able to, and forgive me, I don't have that ready for you because we just got out of a meeting about 5:20 tonight. And so right after this meeting, we're going to map out at each campus, including the wellness center, which providers, what times, and which days people are going to be available. There was an outpouring of support at the meeting. We were really grateful that the county had an outpouring of presence. The York Tribe was certainly present. Two Feathers was there. Hoopa Tribal Police, CIT was there. There was just an incredible response of support. And on a typical day at the Wellness Center, we have about 8 or 9 people scheduled in every available space. And that will be true again tomorrow. And then I've already talked to the interim principal at Hoopa High, Hoopa Junior Senior High, and she's given me information just as I was coming into this meeting about which locations are available for extra providers. We're also advocating and coordinating supports for the river schools. And specifically, I got questions about Jack Norton and what would be available there. And so we are working on that too. We already have some commitment for some people, and I hope to finalize that this evening. I would like also to see, in addition to all of our social workers and counselors that will be at all of their assigned sites like they typically are, adding to the support that they are providing to augment that. So we are creating a triage flowchart so that as the office personnel are answering questions and or people are there, that we're able to funnel them specific directions, because we are assuming that they're going to be inundated with a lot of questions and concerns. So we are going to do the best that we can to provide them with some information to help traffic control in terms of warm handoffs and connections for supports. And then I mentioned the service map. And right now we're focused primarily on Thursday and Friday, though I am hearing people also interested in carrying the enhanced and expand supports into Monday. In terms of our wellness support system, I'm going to have a reoccurring meeting for any of our providers, our wellness partners, to be able to come together there and to give updates, to talk about supports and or changes in scheduling. And then I know as an admin team that we will also be checking in each day, in addition to other situations and calls and texts as needed. So that's kind of where we're at in terms of supportive services. And we're very, very grateful for the outpouring. There were providers in the meeting today that I was meeting for the first time, or simply a message had been passed on to them, and we're grateful for that and for all of you. Lynn?
Thank you.
I have a concern, maybe more Cumberland County, because they're saying that they're only three suspects. Is that true? Or is it a freshman, one was a freshman in high school? Are we saying there are only three suspects that killed that young man, that murdered that young man? And as a parent, a grandparent, I'm supposed to allow my child to go? Cumberland County is making statements that have three arrest warrants. And what I hear on the street, and I could be wrong, that there are five kids involved, kids. So how do I feel comfortable? The staff is doing what they can, but if they're not telling us the truth about how many suspects there were that murdered this young man, how do we feel safe sending our kids there? And there are two people at baseball field, softball field, at the high school.
Well, I do think that it needs to be clarified by law enforcement, because I was told by Sheriff Hansel last night that there were five suspects identified, and that today there would be arrest warrants and they were going to be picking these folks up. Now today it says that there's, you know, three suspects, and, you know, one has been arrested and two are still at large. I do know that, you know, sometimes suspects are ruled out, you know, so things change as time goes on. So maybe two of the five were ruled out as being suspects, you know, early on. Yeah, so early on in the investigation, I think sometimes, you know, everybody's a suspect. And then, you know, as time goes along, they'll narrow it down. But I agree. I think they should clarify it, and I can try to check. Try to get that. Okay, would you come to the mic, please? Yes.
Thanks, everybody.
Hi, sorry, I'm not a tribal member. My name's Karen Ceresio. I provide services in the Valley. Does the high school have a metal detector so the kids don't have to worry about guns being in the school? What I was told is that this gun was passed from kid to kid in the high school, and they were hiding it from the high school staff. And that was my first question.
I'm not aware of metal detectors.
We don't have metal detectors. Our officers do have wands that they can wand kids. If that's something the community wants us to do, put in metal detectors, I'm willing to do that. I mean,
the other thing that I had heard was that there You know, the guns now oftentimes being used are 3D printed guns. They're not regular legal guns, so they're not made out of metal. They're composite, and they won't necessarily be detected by the metal detector. But, you know, I think that's probably a discussion that we should have. I mean, there's multiple entry points at the school. You know, you hate to see the security be too tight and make the school feel like a prison, but at the same time, you know, it may be worth it to do that. We'll have to have more discussion on that. Couple hands have gone up. We'll go to Brad, then we'll come back to Rob, and then we'll go to Zoom.
Well, this is a sad day to see this. My question, I guess there's two questions within it. First is, I was not fully aware that there was gang activity in the Valley. I remember hearing of it years ago when gangs were starting to move in, but then everything went quiet, and I just assumed that they had moved out of here. So my question, first question is, what are the identified gangs in the Valley? Because I've heard there's more than one group of, I guess, gangs or gang members. So what are they? Have we identified what the gangs that are currently running within our area are or who they are? Next portion of that question are, as a just a community member, are there things I should watch for? Are there red flags that I could identify as, hey, that's a potential danger or potentially within a specific gang that I'm not even aware of? And then the third portion on that is, are these gangs related to larger gang groups outside? Is this a portion of them coming in through the youth? And then is that also a way for narcotics such as fentanyl and other things to be coming into the area through our youth and through the larger gangs if they're forming within that? And then what are we looking at as a police force, as a tribal body, to actually start stamping that out, to identify and start wiping that out? Because as a community member growing up here in the 70s, you know, it was safe. I could leave my doors unlocked, I could leave my car doors unlocked, whatever. And now we have to lock everything down, and sometimes we still don't feel safe. And I am in Shoemaker. Apparently when this incident happened, I had driven past it just, I guess, moments before it had happened, and I was oblivious to any of this. So I think that we really should have a discussion about what gangs are here. What should we be aware of? Because if I'm down at the gas station and somebody pulls in next to me, is there something that I can identify? Hey, maybe I shouldn't be here, or there could be something that is going to arise. And then we've had a couple different incidents happen where there was a robbery with the bank deposit, was at gunpoint. Was that somehow tied in here? And that seemed to have gone quiet as far as everything that went on with it. And it seems like we have had issues where I see things happen in my community and it's talked about, like we're talking about now. It's brought out that this is a bad thing, this happened. But then in a week, it seems to dissipate and we don't hear anything else about it. So what is our follow-up going to be? And how are we going to follow up to maintain or make sure that we can rid ourselves of the gangs coming in or wipe out the gangs that we have? Thank you.
Yeah, with regards to the robbery that happened, you know, I have been getting updates on that, and it seems like they're making progress in the case. I was told that, you know, they know who the suspect was at this point. And it sounds like, you know, they're working on making an arrest. And, you know, wasn't a resident of the reservation from what I understand. But the other part is with the gangs. We actually met at 5 with some sheriff's deputies. One of them kind of specializes in gang enforcement. And you know, he had asked for a confidential meeting with the council. I don't think that they are quite ready to release all the information yet with regards to where we're at with the gangs. I think that will happen as soon as, you know, we'd like to have that as soon as possible. And, you know, I think that that should come from law enforcement. They are working on some things. I think sometimes it's not always clear of who is a validated gang member, who is not, what their associated ties are. So if the wrong information is released, it could create unnecessary turmoil, conflicts. So we will work on getting more of that information out as far as how to address it. I mentioned earlier, so we're going to be, you know, in the schools talking about the dangers of gangs and how they start, and the way that, you know, we're told it's starting is like kids do it for fun. It's kind of a joke at first, and they, you know, they want to create a little club. Then pretty soon, you know, they start to gain some popularity, and it becomes more and more glorified. And before you know it, you know, now they're, you know, getting more people involved, and there's fights that happen. And then later on, you know, real gang members start to infiltrate and try to take control of these gangs and get them to do bad things that benefit, you know, the real gangs. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, maybe selling drugs or selling guns. All those things come into play. We want to get the information out and identify all that in an official, you know, professional manner. And you know, that should be coming soon. But, you know, we were asked right now to kind of hold off on releasing all that information for the time being for one reason or the other when it comes to law enforcement. I think a lot of it has to do with an open investigation and not wanting to release certain information that could compromise that investigation. So I really don't feel comfortable releasing everything, but we want to get to that point. And I don't know, James, if there's anything you wanted to add or anything you can share.
I'm gonna stand over here so my back's not towards anybody. just how I am, how I work. So, yeah, I just want, you know, like Jacqueline said, we're going to be at the schools working with county, Yurok tribe. They're going to have officers there present also. And we're going to have our security on campus throughout the day. So I just want to try to keep it safe. You know, that's hard to promise with everything and all the unknown, you know. So there are some outstanding subjects out there. Out of the five, there, through the investigation, there was only three identified as shooters, I guess you would say. But there was five people involved, and with all the investigation and the statements that have taken, that they can only identify three at the time. So that's why there's only three. But, you know, if, you know, I just ask that, you know, the family bring the kids forward, be the safest thing, give their side, hiding them. I mean, doesn't help their side, doesn't look good either. So, yeah, with the gang stuff, that would fall within the county's realm. We don't have the capability of, you know, looking into that, investigating and, like, the resources and stuff, so. From what I see, it's more of a, it's not like a criminal, like, organization kind of thing. It's more of a belonging, wanting to be a part of something. Just some lost kids looking for something to grab onto. That's, you know, what we get out of it.
So what will happen to the parents that are there?
If they are caught with their, with whoever, they can be charged with harboring, yeah, and hiding them.
Absolutely. So you have names of the gangs that are active here?
Like Joe said, that's still in the early stages, and we don't want to put that out.
Okay.